There is a million sermons in this choir, but it's never been preached by anybody, anywhere, at any time.
Right. Hallelujah.
And then the spirit of revelation, and the Holy Ghost comes down, and you get to that school of the spirit.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Holy Ghost runs a university. Tells us about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's revelation, inspiration, animation, and impartation, where you have God imparts to you the things of God. God educates his creatures in three schools. Number one, the school of nature. Job said, go to the bird and he'll teach you, to the animal and he'll teach you. And Solomon said, go to the anthill, sluggard. Hallelujah. And Jesus ordained the preachers back in Matthew 10. He said, look, I'm going to take you down to Nature's house. I want you to become. Ooh, and that word become. Do you know there's 103 commands in the New Testament to be something against about 10 to do something? God majors in being. Like me, what I'll be, I can do what I'll do without difficulty. My problem is not doing. My problem is being. There's 103 commandments. This Bible to be something. Again, in Matthew 5, where it says, be thou perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the kind of life. God's problem and the Holy Ghost's purpose is to build character so you can be. And then the mechanics, the doing, will straighten itself out. Oh, bless the Lord. Jesus took them down to nature's house and said, now, number one, I want to educate you in the school of nature. I want you to become wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And I said, heaven help me. That doesn't mean a thing in the world to me. But when I grew up in the timber country of Mississippi. My dad on a hill had built us a house. He was a lumber foreman. Wherever the lumbering was going on, that's where we lived. He had converted, in fact, an old schoolhouse into a residence. Fenced it in with a fence wire fence. And my brother had a job, but I had a cat. I guess I was a little sissy. And I like a cat. I don't now hate it. They kill birds. And one day, my little kitten, I went out the back screen door, and I saw my little cat stiff-leggedly walking strange and distressed, yet drawn across the lawn in the backyard. And I said, Mother, come here, what's the matter with my little cat? And she said, I don't know, he's acting strange. Down from the branch below our house had crawled a moccasin, enormous thing. He had toiled at the net wire fence and was charming my little cat and bringing him across the yard to devour. I didn't know then that a snake can charm a squirrel out of the top of the tallest tree or a rabbit from yonder. Jesus, what will you say? Don't go out and fight men into the kingdom. Charm them not to destruction, but by the Holy Ghost. Become wise as a serpent. Charm people. Well, that's what they did in Acts 2. Well, I'm not going to preach the sermon outlines. I never do. So what do you know? I still turn to Acts chapter 2. You know, the glory of getting the baptism is being introduced into the element of the miraculous, that God may build in you a character that's so charming, that's so totally wonderful, tell everybody in the city where you live, know you have the baptism, because the glory flows out the air with glory, glory, the sweetness is all over your face, and honey flows out your fingers. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts 2:46, the 3,000, I wish I had 3,000 church members like this. They continued daily, Acts 2:46, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God with glory, and having favor with all the people. I do not accept this old fool philosophy, as far as I'm concerned, because I've got the baptism and speaking tongues, everybody hates. I don't believe a word. Now my banker doesn't care if I turn handsprings and walk on my hands with my feet in my air in my church, nor in my house, just so I pay my bills. But when I shout in the church and don't pay my grocery bill, that's another story. Yeah. They had favor with all the people. I got a sweet little old prune in my church. She said, everybody. I told her a little parable of why in the world the little polecat said nobody won't play with me. I went out to play in the rabbits and all of them run. Even the grasshoppers. Friends must show himself friendly. You thank God there is a friend to stick his foot to. If the Holy Ghost don't make you sweet and biddable and charming and loving and neighborly and friendly and gracious and kind, you did not get the benefits that God meant for you to have. For the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Hallelujah.
You know, one time I studied Galatians 5, what's in that study, man? And I said, now, Lord, there's something wrong with my English. My sentence structure that they taught me in school and college, there's something wrong with your word. For here is a secular subject with 9 or 10 or 12 predicates, and that's not right, Lord. Then the Lord opened my eyes. Galatians 5:22, that there is one fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy is love overflowing. Peace is love at rest. Long suffering is love under test. Gentleness is love's nature. Goodness is love's disposition. Faith is love's attitude toward God. For the Lord said to me, and I saw at Greenland Camp, Pennsylvania, a mass healing, the only one I've ever seen. God's glory moved across the place. Nobody touched anybody, but God touched everybody. There were miracles, healing, crippled, blind.
Hallelujah.
When I wept on the floor, God said, you're to preach on the principle and touch the faith on Monday morning. And I said, Lord, I don't know what faith is. I know what that Paris Carter Hempstead Bible Academy in London says faith is. And what Webster's Unabridged Dictionary says faith is. I know what your Bible says faith is, but Lord, I'm a country boy. I was born in the hills in the log house. You tell me in words that my heart can understand what faith is. I'll be so gracious. I'll be so thankful. I put my hands down in my face on the floor of death and said, God, can you teach me what faith is? And the Holy Ghost said, I grabbed the pencil and put it down. Faith is the hand of the soul that reaches forth to God and never returns empty. I stood on that massive platform in that tremendous tabernacle of seats, 3,500, I guess. There were several hundreds of people there. And I said those words, faith, and I sounded in the air of people. There were miracles all over that auditorium. What do you say? Faith worketh by love. Don't say, God, give me more faith. Say, God, increase my heart, enlarge my capacity to love you. Yeah. And faith is the natural result. Yeah. For faith is love's attitude toward God. Meekness? I don't like what Mr. Webster said about meekness because he didn't know what it meant. Meekness, Moses was the meekest man in the world. He could lead 600,000 grumbling people, past them 4 years, never get mad but once. That's the record. Of course, getting mad once, he missed the promise. Yes, he did. If a little self-will at the wrong time smoked that rock, ruined the picture of Calvary, Jesus not be smitten a second time. The rock had followed him with Christ and everything he did. When he ruined that picture, God said, you're through, he doesn't believe me. Because thou believest me not to glorify me before my people. Come on, let's go to the mountain. I'm not going to take you to the woodshed. I'm going to take you to the graveyard. And Moses preached that book of Deuteronomy, which is one sermon. That's one sermon, Moses' last sermon. God said, come on, son. He said, please don't, God. God said, don't you talk to me anymore about this. It's fixed. You're going to the graveyard. I'll take you up Mount Nebo. Let you see the promised land by reading that yesterday. Both his eyesight had not abated, nor his natural strength failed. He could see all the way to the Mediterranean coast, could see all the way. And that's about, I've been there, that's about 45 or 50 miles. He could see the Mediterranean coast. He said, this is the land by promise. But you can't go anywhere. If a little bit of self-will that moves is out of the promised land, if a little bit of self-pity kept Elijah. Do you know the day Elijah got under the juniper tree, God gave him his notice, he was fired? My God, that's my fright. God said, look, you, I don't want a whining prophet. You go down yonder and anoint Elijah to take your place, and you go anoint Jesus. When you get under the juniper tree, you ruin God's plan for your life. For all things are working together for good for them that love God. God gave him his notice of dismissal that day. And the young prophet then asked for a double portion. Elijah did 6 major miracles. Elisha did 14 major miracles. Is the hope for this new generation? When I see kids like that boy speaks last night, your son, I say, glory to God, if they don't do a better job than we old worn out set have done, you can do a better job. Elijah, the young prophet, received a double portion. Whoa. Ooh, glory to God. Went out and prayed a prayer of faith on the city water supply and took that. Young man lost his head. Look at that.
great little paraphrase that broke all the laws of physics?
You know the law of physics. I don't swim.
That's right.
But he did. How God runs his business. The bumblebee doesn't know that he can't fly. His fuselage is too broad and his wings spread too narrow. But he doesn't know that, so he just guns his little motor and here he goes. How God runs his business. Did you know the most intriguing thing? Science tells this day, and biologists and bugologists have analyzed the lightning bug. Did you have fireflies everywhere? We're doing the big south, hundreds of them in my yard. So it's getting dark, certain season of the year, that old boy is courting. He flies up in the air and turns on his little light. And he turns it off that quick. The thing that is extra science is where the button is and he turns it off and on. And they have never discovered why God put a lightning bug's head light on his tail. It's where the switch is that turns it on. I'm sincere. You ask any major biologist that lives in the field of that kind of research, they will know what makes that light turn on and off.
Well,
when you get educated in the school of nature, and then go to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, then that school of the Holy Ghost. See, there's not but three gifts of the Spirit. Look out, that picture, there's nine. No, there's three majors and six minors. Wisdom with knowledge and discernment. Faith with miracles and healing. And then the utterance, the prophecy, tongue, interpretation, speaking in tongues. The final is a school of experience. St. Paul said that I have learned. What did he learn? Where Timothy was saved. See, where Stephen was stoned, Paul was saved. Where Paul was stoned, Timothy was saved. There's your reloading. There where Timothy was saved, where he got stoned and thrown out of the city for dead. Where was it? Somebody else. Where was Paul stoned and put on the city dump for the bugger? Oh, where it was. Where it was is not important. I'll find it in a minute and show you where it is. The fact that when he arrived, Acts 14, thank you, little brother. I was at 13 and I knew that didn't be right. Yeah. 14, 20, that's right. The thing he learned was that the same people that will tell you the blindest thing ever came along, when somebody tells me, yeah, the greatest thing you ever heard, I say, where have you been? Tell me, did you fool out of that? So what? Glory, glory, glory. The people, when you arrive at Lystra, at Lystra, they already examined the God with great effort from deifying him and bowing down and worshiping him. Well, when somebody came and said, that's the fellow that turned the world upside down up yonder somewhere, that same bunch put a rope around his neck and dragged him through the streets of Lystra and left him on the city dump to die. Not to die, but for the burning city. For anybody that will blow you up, listen, this flattery will pump through your little balloon, and when it goes, you will have been deflated. But they didn't need it when they raised it. That was polished. They meant to get from out of it. Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Come on. He said, brother, I've learned
the school of experience. God educates his creatures in the school of nature, in the school of the Holy Ghost, and in the school of human experience.
Now I better read a little text. Stand, brother. I got a part of it. I'm not here. Acts 26. But before I read this, it appears to me that no one man, save our Lord Jesus Christ himself, has ever walked the path of time and affected the whole world, established the kingdom of God, and ripped Satan's kingdom apart wherever he went. Like did this little 5'4" hunchback half-blind Jew. He wrote one letter, printed it in big letters, and said, you see, with what great big letters I've written there. He had to dictate it for the letter. He suffered more, prayed more, preached more, loved more than any man that walked the path of time. I wish you would read. I brought the Bible Encyclopedia for two reasons. To get number one, the history of speaking in tongues, the most perfect history of speaking in tongues in print. It was in the Britannica Encyclopedia of 1945 vintage. It's total. And then there's story of the life of St. Paul. It's pages and pages and pages. Because he affected the world and three continents. Let's read in Acts 26. Beginning to read the verse 9. And then we'll talk to you about what God said about him, what the devil said about him, what the world said about him, then what he said about himself. Acts 26, beginning to read the verse 9. Instantly, Lois Irwin, just after she wrote that wonderful song, sang it in our New Mexico camp while I was privileged, and she's a great soul. Acts 26. Got a Bible with you? What you done in the Lord's house is without a book. I verily thought, he said, it is witness before both Festus and Agrippa. Think of such an audience. Talk about brag. I verily thought with myself that I also knew many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints did I set up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. Those weaklings did blaspheme, as he teaches us in Hebrews 10, how that some of them, when they were offered their property back because of losing their Jewish citizenship. They lost their property rights, and thugs and crooks and thieves and robbers came in and took their cattle and took their farms and took their rugs out of their houses, and they had no recourse in law.
That's in Hebrews 10:26, where it says, you suffered joyfully the confiscation of your goods. Oh, yes. Talk about dedication. When they were beaten and told not to preach anymore, you know what they did? Glory, glory. At that point, they started their house to house with you. That's when the old Jewish hierarchy devised that damnable thing, Hebrews 10, which are Hebrews 10:26. Say, if you stand back up in this synagogue and say that Jesus Christ is an illegitimate child of a Jewish harlot, that made him slept the blood of fornication, and that the spirit you received and made you speak in tongues without the devil, we'll give you back your farm and your cattle. And the weakling, did it. But St. Paul said, you do that. Hebrews 6 4, there's not a possibility of you ever getting back because you've denied the blood of the covenant. You've come underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant for you were sanctified in unholy things, justified in spirit of grace. Paul said, I was there when some of them laughed at you. I was there when some of them took that oath. He said, I made some blaspheme. And God, being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even in strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I like the way this preacher preaches. He says, say you in me and amen. No, that's crazy. At midday, O king, I saw in the way, because St. Paul, in order to get this king's attention, addressed him personally. I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It was hard for me to kick against the prick. He was never able to get Stephen's faith and that little fellow praying for him out of his heart, no matter how many sleeping pills he took. Hard for me to kick against the prick. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And that's Curie in the Greek text. And he said, I am Jesus. And when Jesus used 18 times the word I am, he was identifying himself to the Jewish nation as the one that led them out of Egypt. When he said, I am the bread of life, he said, I manufactured it and poured it down. Glory to God. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am thee, Jesus, whom thou persecutest, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Any time you hear God talk about the divine purpose, put up your little antenna and walk softly. There's something there. To make thee, and that architecture manufacture thee into a preacher, a minister, and a witness, both of these things which I see, and of those things into which I will appear to thee, listen. He lived in a constantly unfolding revelation of the grace of God. Before he died, he said, I will come. The visions, revelations of the Lord. Deliver me from the people and from the Gentiles. And behold, now I send thee to do three things. to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. I was in a district many years ago. A young fellow said, he thought I was some kind of fellow. He said, God didn't send me to feed the sheep, sent me to see more than the goats. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. I was back in that district for a ministry just two back here. I said, where is the fellow? He went out to be born the goat. And they said, very definitely, that's good. And they wouldn't tell me a word, and I didn't want to hear it. Because I knew God didn't send him to it. God sent you to love the sheep and see him grow fat and happy and full of God's grace. But once you've given a sheep, he never produces more. Turn him from Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wherefore they all came to Agrippa. Boy, he calls me by name this time. Do you know the art of getting people's attention and holding it? Do you know the art of eye-to-eye contact? You don't go study how to learn threats and influence people or some other good book on good psychology. He knew it to the last ditch. And he called him old king over here, but he said, oh, King Agrippa, I'm fishing for you. I'm witnessing to you. God gave you this privilege. Your blood is, your hands are stained with the blood of 23 of your own family that you murdered to keep them from sitting on your throne. But Jesus loves you. Did he shake him? That word wonderful, such a stretch. No, let me read one more verse. Well, from old King Agrippa, I was not disobedient under the heavenly vision, and that's the key secret of his whole life. Verse 24, when he had spoken for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou beside thyself, he fell in the Gentile community. Paul, thou beside thyself, unlearning doth make thee mad. Then Agrippa cried out, verse 28, almost, thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Lord. Now I've heard more false interpretations of that. But here's what Agrippa said. As Paul said, I went to God, verse 29, that not only thou, but also all them that care thee to see this day were almost and altogether such as I am, except I stand as a prisoner with chains on. Let's bow down our hearts. Oh Lord, teach us how to touch our generation. Teach us how to love like this man loved. Teach us how to pray like this man prayed. For he said, I'm almost willing to die and go to hell in their place. If I cannot win my own country, my own countrymen to God. Teach us, God, how to grow like he grew, how to learn the school of experience like he learned, so we can die like he died. Say, I finished my course. I won every soul of God that God ever put on my lips. Oh, I'm now ready. Oh, God, for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake, our generation is not being shaken or taken because of a lack of giants among the ministry. For Jesus' sake, for Jesus' sake, give revival from the line of Oklahoma, El Paso. Our hearts, believe it. Let them break and change and move through, River God, all through, River God, in every city and crossroads, and
of those times. Pour out your glory. Make West Texas a flame of living fire for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit, Brother West, as I was walking into my door last night as I turned the key, the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that I had not thought of in years and years. When God, when I was capable of late to this Florida Project and Bible School that was instituted then, the Lord said to me, you're to go to North Island Church in Columbus and pray that church through. And I was thankful of our college, but the Lord knew the future, such as I had already given notice of my resignation. I'm a pastor, I'm not educated. To make a long story short, I did not tell one soul, I didn't call them up there and tell them God said I was to come there. But Sister Bess and I prayed. Months passed, got a long distance call, said, Brother Bess, would you come to North Island and Columbus and preach over the weekend? I said, because God's already spoken to me, I will. I came. I found the turn up, split up, pathetic. The young people married the old people, the men and the women, the children and the adults. It was the most totally torn up, split up thing I have ever heard of. It has stood on that corner for 35 years and fought and fussed and spewed and chewed and shouted in the house. It was a conglomeration of spiritual men. Avenues of the board, and I said, Devin, I don't see how any one of you knows how to pray and walk with God that anything that ever gets been torn up. But because God spoke to me, I came, and because God already spoke to me that I am the son, I know I'm the son. When you put my name in the nomination, if I get 90% vote, I don't need a confirmation, I don't believe in sweetness. I went in getting down on my face and praying through and hearing God talk to me many times during the battle of God, and I pick up a pencil and put down what he said. When I was in the county, he called me to preach and said, go carry my word or be lost. And I said, God, you know I can't. I've got to love this little girl. I've got to follow her home. Of my dad and mother getting old, and maybe my family. God said, go carry my word or be lost. That's why I'm not a Calvinist. God said, you're to go to North Island Church in Columbus. As I did myself, God finally experienced the greatest revival I've ever seen fall. I've seen more miracles with the Bull Long Fire Church, and I've seen it more on Robert Jack Cole and every great meeting I've ever been in put together. When some fiery things quit fighting, apologized one to another, got up on their knees and prayed through the vow, and the glory began to fall. In the first revival, 137 people received a baptism. I baptized 80-odd adults in our first baptismal service. So that thing grew and grew. It was the second church in the city. When we went there, it grew larger than the three largest put together by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Praise God. Praise God.
But before it began to grow, I was among my brother preachers, and I was giving all the stock excuses why my church wasn't growing, that the deacons wouldn't be, and the schools wouldn't be, and the tithers wouldn't tithe, and the prayers wouldn't pray. God said, son, you're a liar. Is the littleness an liar? That church is the littleness and weakness of my servant, the leader.
And I say, God, do you have problems? My problem, God said, at that church is the littleness and weakness of my servant believer. And from that day till this day, and that's been 24 years ago, the church grew and grew. Rather buy a city block, move 15 houses, and build the Lord a church.
Praise God.
What do you say? From that day to this, when my church is not doing well, I go look in the mirror and say, Edgar Bethany, get down on your knees and pray through to God. Edgar Bethany, if your church isn't growing, God's looking straight down the gun barrel and through the smoke at you, and the crosshairs are right on you. Get going. Get going. Now, he didn't say that to you, and I'm glad he didn't. For he shook me to the waterline and changed my life. And changed my philosophy. And then sent a little old Methodist preacher that God had filled with the Holy Ghost that said, Edgar, I've come to this city to see it broken. I said, Edgar, I'll join hands with y'all fast and pray. That boy would fast as much as 7 days and not put food in his mouth. That's in the first revival where 137 received the baptism, where I baptized 84 adults in one baptismal service. That was the beginning of a 10-year revival. The average Sunday night, we would see 3 men and a heck of a dozen women. I don't know why we've always had more men in our church than ladies. That's a standard thing. Where we've pastored, we always have more men than women. I believe God would have a woman to get her husband saved. Teach her how to do it, bang, here he comes. To have a heavenly vision that does not make you effective as a worker in this world is not a right heavenly vision. And now, what did God say about this fellow? I don't like what the devil said about him, but the devil gave a testimony. Then the world gave a testimony concerning him. Then he gave a little testimony concerning himself. And I'm going to quit. That's your watch. I'm going to quit it 5 minutes after. I never do get through preaching. I preach when they tell me I can and quit when the clock makes it. Acts chapter 9. What did the Lord say about this little 5'4" bald-headed, hunchback, ag-blind Jew? God said, I was saying to Brother West, it's been such a genuine pleasure to meet this giant. I knew there were giants, but I didn't know many of them, but I found one, and he's a great devil. And I've enjoyed sincerely, and that's not polished nor butter. I've enjoyed working with Brother West, and I was saying to him, last night, and that little couple from downstate here heard us talking at the supper table. They came over to make acquaintance with this little Orthodox, Russian Orthodox lady and her saved husband. Said no Orthodox saves, and no Orthodox, Greek Orthodox saves. Oh, yes, there is. Isn't that one last night? That man saved a cigarette, this man. I didn't like his cigarette, but I liked him.
What did God say about this little Jew? I was saying, Brother West, I like the fact that some people live in text. When Saul had been smitten on the road to Damascus, had spent 3 days in fasting and prayer there in seclusion somewhere, there was a little disciple named Ananias, Acts 9 and 12. God buzzed his number. Ooh, glory. About midnight, Ananias got the receiver and said, Lord, I'm on the line. It's wonderful to live in touch. I know a preacher who was living in touch. 2 o'clock in the morning, God said, I want you to go get your deacon and go pray for that former pastor that's backslidden away from God and heading an automobile agency. The pastor's car was in the shop, but he had an old piece of a log truck. He got on that old log truck, bumped across the down a country road, woke up his deacon, said, God said for us to go pray for Price. If I called his last name, some of you older preachers would know him. When they drove that old log truck up in front of Price's home, the lights woke him up. They went to beat on the door and said, Christ, God said for us to come pray for you, that he loved you, and he wanted to restore you tonight. He said, God didn't love me, he didn't send you. They said, yes, he did. With that beautiful giant of a preacher that had failed God and accepted Jehovah's Witnessism, brought disgrace to the kingdom of God, wrecked his own home and his children, broke and wept, and was in church next Sunday. The church he used to preach in, down on his knees, because somebody was living in touch. Saul of Tarsus fasted and prayed 3 days. I don't know where the pastor was. I don't know where the deacon board down in Damascus was. But there was a little man that lived in church. God said, Ananias, I want you to go down on Straight Street. Who is this fellow, Lord? He's Saul of Tarsus. Oh, Lord, I've heard of him. I'm on his death list. Yeah, but you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And he went in and said, Brother Saul, I like that. He hadn't received the Holy Ghost, but he was a brother. Come on. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to be in the way, have sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't fish for big fish, but he sure did catch one. Don't you get mad with me, preacher. I know fellas that fish for the banker and for the... God sent us a marvelously rich man. The doctor that wrote the tract, Mamie Williams wrote the tract about the lady was instantly healed of a breast cancer on his operating table. He used to be on my board. He used to be one of my people. Dr. W.H. Holden. Tremendous surgeon. I don't fish for big fish, but when God comes, calls one to come along and jump in the boat, I don't throw him back out. Glory. I know some foolish people that do. And big fish are hard to string. Come on. But they sure are nice when once you get them calmed down. Ananias, a little layman, prayed the prayer of faith on the man that shook hell's kingdom. Glorified God, wrote 14 books of our New Testament. Why? Because he lived in touch.
sometimes within a block of the parsonage. It's somebody that's dying for a want of a little bit of love. I went doing some house-to-house visitation. I walked up on the porch. A fine man came to the door. I said, Brian, your brother Cran used to be on my board years ago at the old Methodist church that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to pastor at Slocum, Alabama, where they had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and most of his congregation received the Holy Ghost. That's why he's been so bitter across the years against Pentecost. And then God sent Sister Becky and me there to pastor those Holy Ghost-filled Methodists. Hallelujah. And it was a banker out of that church that was on my board that got in the log truck, went and retrieved the other man. I walked down that street. I said, Brian, your brother Cran used to be on my board at this old Methodist church where everybody got the baptism. And he said, your brother Cran? And I said, yes. He said, won't you come in? I said, Brian, I didn't come to social visit. I love you and I want you in my church. Do you know God filled 200 men at our altar with the Holy Ghost and they got up to join my church? I don't know how. I love children. I love ladies, especially one. That's me, Bethany. I had the evangelist come, Father. He came back with it. And the little briefcase from Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. He said, glory to God, I'm back this year with a new automobile but the same wife. And I said, congratulations. Brown said, Brother Bethany, I've heard the people shout in that church for 22 years. You're the first man that ever walked to my door and said, Brian, I love you. And now won't you say, where is he today? He's been a trustee at North Island Church for 15 years. If you could know the heartache that somebody's undergoing within the shadow of the steeple. A lot of our churches where there's a lot of commotion but a little bit of love. For when you live in touch, God, not one of these mental telepathists, no. Patrick Kuhlman, I know Calvin personally. And I have no fault with Patrick Kuhlman. He cooperated in the Pittsburgh area for years and years and years. Every sip of God preaching that area will tell you. She's a princess, and she lives on the level, loves God, and does a great work for God. And I'm not, that's not my way to know what's wrong with you, just need to tell you about it. But to live in touch and feel the heartache that the alcoholic's wife goes through, and to feel the loneliness of somebody that lives among people that their hearts are dying. Brown and Gibbons said, Brother Benson, you're the first fella. You're the first man from that church that ever walked to my door and said, Brian, I love you. And I want to see you saved. When you begin to live in touch, God can speak to you at midnight. Put you on your knees. He pulls me out of bed many nights and says, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. young people, you can live in touch. Just living in touch. I don't know where the preacher was. I want to repeat at Damascus. I don't know where the preacher was. I don't know where the deacons were. But this one little fellow was living in touch. And God said a song.
Said to this little fellow, Acts 9:15, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto thee to bear my name before kings and Gentiles and the children of Israel. Then he added a little footnote, for all the blood he shed, for all the people that he caused to blaspheme, I will show him how great things he must suffer. Do you reap for what you sow in sin? Do you reap that against him what you sow in sin? Yes. I feel my right arm off at the shoulder today. And I've been saved 52 years. If I could go back and undo the lies that I have affected, the years I lived in sin, I thank God that I was a gentleman enough, full of the devil, curse, swear, lie, steal, gamble, cutthroat, anything. But a lady that was a lady, when she left her mother's door out of company with me, was a lady when she returned. I think a man's a dog that has seduced a virtuous woman. Woman had no respect for herself, I had none for her. But if she respected herself, I respect her. God said he's going to suffer. Because he caused so many to blaspheme. Because he helped stone Stephen, I'm going to let him get stoned in this country. Because he forced people out of their homes and took their property and their cattle, I'm going to let him throw the knife and lay in the deep. I'm going to let him be rescued. What do you say?
God said he's a chosen vessel. He's done so much devil kick. He's got a lot of suffering to gain. But he's a chosen vessel.
When his hands were stained with blood, Jeremy, who'd have thought Dan Stan, a future apostle? I'm believing God to save the kingpin of the dope traffic. Atlanta's a city of 1.5 million, growing at the rate of nearly 100,000 a year. Money flows like water. Nobody unemployed. Atlanta doesn't have 1% of the unemployment rate. I love you come to see me, but not all at once. A great place to be, but God sent me there to see that city broken and shaken. I said, God, give me 2 years. I don't want but 3. God, give me 3 years. Bring me the help I need. He brought a bunch of high salary men. Some of my men make 50,000 a year, some of them more. We've got a beautiful church. We'll dedicate it for the 1st of October. 10 sided. It'll cost us $500,000. God's not broke me, not even. You put people deeply into debt, Brother Bethman? No. No, no, no. I've been raising in here for the last 100,000 that we need. You say, Brother Bethman? Honey, he owns the cattle on 1,000 acres. All the gold and silver his. God does not glory in riches, neither does he glory in poverty.
What are you saying? When you live in touch, and when you know the divine will, and you know what God's going to do tomorrow, it's marvelous. I used to go down to Georgia, at a summer school, training school. Little girl that went to school with me, I went back 1936 and 7 when we first started Southeastern. See, I was its first principal. Guy Steele came to Alabama and inspired us to start a Bible school. And they told me who the principal was way back 1938 or 35. A little lady stood up. A girl that had gone to school with me years ago stood up. Little Irving Sicer, she used to be. She said, Brother Dudley, I'm praising the Lord for $100,000 for his kingdom here in Savannah. I said, glory to God, Irving. God will give it to you if you'll believe it. She and her husband, Clayton Dean, had started a little church out in the better section of Savannah in their own home. They were in total cooperation with the district, in total cooperation with the whole section and everything. And the district had given them $1,500 to pay down on a new piece of property. They'd struggled for 3 years and had service in their living room while they were paid down on this property to start them a building program. And the First Federal Saving and Loan sent out their scouts and said, we want that piece of property. We're willing to give $135,000. They were going to give $7,000 for it and struggle through and pay it. Said, we'll give them $135,000 cash on the barrel for it. When she heard that, she liked to faint. But that's the way God. You believe for a dime, he'll give you a dime. You believe for $10,000, he'll give you $10,000 if you want it for his glory. If you want it for his glory, let me repeat that. If you want it for his glory, if you want it for his glory, if you want it for his glory, and his glory alone. You know what we would do with our offerings? You say the ushers rush off the county. No, they don't. They bring it to the altar of communion. I take the Holy Communion, the altar of repentance. I stand where all my people stand. I put it into the name of God, hands of Jesus, the head of all the best church. Praise him for it. Glory to God. And he said to me, son, as long as you do that, there'll never be an unmet need in this church. We've got $300,000 since we started that. Just because he's God. Just because he loves the people. Just because he doesn't want to worship in his barn. Hallelujah. 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 Do you live in touch? Do you live in touch? Do you know what God's will is for you tomorrow? God said he's a chosen vessel. I got 3 more minutes. That's what God said. What did the devil say about it? Turn that to me. Good Lord. What did the world say about it? They looked out the window and saw him come. The city commission was in me. Now, boy, he's sorry for some of the pictures. The city fathers, they can't please the Protestants, nor the Catholics, nor the Pagans, nor the Jews, and haven't tried to please everybody in the city. Boy, he's sorry. I always live close to the mayor. Hallelujah. They used it. The city commission was meeting. They looked out the window and saw these barefooted preachers with their shoes across their back. They said, we just got a wire from down there where the jail fell all to pieces the other day when they put one of those fellas in it. And we just saw on the news that the security prison down yonder where they had all the extra guards out on duty, that big prison door opened and the man disappeared. We executed all the men at the prison
for being traitors. But we haven't found heaven and high building, but there he is right outside. Heaven help us, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. The devil never would know when some of us came to town or left if he didn't see our picture in the paper. Don't get mad with me.
What did the devil say about this fellow? Turn to Acts 19. Funniest little story in the whole Bible. I've got ha 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 written in the margin of my Bible in a number of places. The devil said. Now the story of how when Satan, when handkerchiefs are aprons, and that was the sweat cloth, listen, he preached so hard he had to have a towel across his shoulder to wipe his bald head. And when he could no longer make all the sick calls, somebody got the towel off his head. They went and laid it on a sick man, he got well. They said, that's one. Then when the towel wore out, they bound his old carpenter, old tent maker's apron. It was soaked with his good old juice, too. And the devil said, when I smell that fellow's body odor, I take to the tall timber. Now, when you analyze what the Greek text says, you find that. And here's what Satan said. You know the tragedy of playing church? Tragedy of speaking in church is one thing, but the tragedy of playing in church is something else.
These seven preachers for us tried it here in Acts 19. Seven sons of Sceva or Sceva. They said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. That's Acts 19, 16. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. That's verse 13. When the seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, they did this. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and that's gnosko. But the word know in the second instance is not the same. He said, Jesus I know, I knew him in eternity. But this fellow Paul, I'm well acquainted with him. Everywhere he goes, he tears my kingdom apart. That's the devil's testimony of the greatest prayer. Romans 10, Romans 9, he said, I'm willing almost to die and go to hell instead of my Jewish brethren. I love them so much. He said, I love them so much. Do you know why you don't win people to God? You don't love them. You know why you can't manage your deacon board? You don't love them. You know why you can't get your loved ones saved? You don't know the love of Jesus. Not like you can know it. You remember the boys on earth, like Leonard Probert, and been sentenced to 99 years in San Quentin? His mother was a rich alcoholic. He was raised by a governess. He hated his mother. He never saw her except on Friday evening when the governess took him in and his mother administered punishment. He was a football star, but hate ruined him. He murdered a man, the sin in the San Quentin. He fished him a dagger.
First guard, he got close to him, stabbed him. The guards beat him down, broke his hand, broke his arms with clubs, threw him into the prison yard to die. Some of the prisoners picked him up and stripped their shirts and fixed his fingers. He was put in solitary confinement without hospitalization to rot and die. The warden came down. He cursed the warden, swore and damned at him from the first time he could see him. Said, if I had a dagger, I'd kill you. The warden said to him, I love you. He cursed him, said, you're a so-and-so liar. He said to him, I love you and I'll prove it to you. He did. He showed him kindness. He pulled him out of that hole and sent him to the hospital. He gave him a chance. The boy's heart responded to love. Christian worker came along, led him to the cross. He got saved, got the baptism. Art Linkletter went to the governor and said, put on him to me. Since that day, that boy's gone to death row and retrieved over 900 men from death row and got them saved and got them to God. The weapon of love. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which means they're spiritual, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Criticism drives people to hell. Love draws them to the cross. The devil said, he does violence to my kingdom wherever he goes. He said in Colossians 1:5 that before he died, the gospel would preach to every creature under heaven. I accept that. Let's bow down our hearts. Oh God, around this is a bleeding world. Around this, oh God, our religions by the dozen. Some preach an anemic gospel. Some preach a gospel as it was preached in Galatia that created a terrible situation. Oh Lord, but I thank you for the privilege of being a channel through which the love of God can flow, and yet, Lord, I'm not 100th part of what I want you to make me. I want you to enlarge my heart. I want you to put within me, Lord, what was in you that caused you to go to the cross. Oh, Lord, you said the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Lord, that was not only you, that's us. As we pour out our lives in love and faith and sacrifice for the lost and the undone, they begin in the sheep. Touch us, God. Teach us, God. Teach us how to make our churches grow. Our loved ones come home to the cross. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, for under me, Messiah. The Lord will live with an unsaved husband. Through the voice of St. Peter, you said, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with their, they will be won whether they go to church initially or not. Thank you, Lord, for the weapons. You put them all in our hands to save the world, to save our homes, to save our loved ones, to save our neighborhood. Oh, without putting up the ladder,
like Ezekiel's vision, that flows a river of water that flows out the church door, cures everything it touches, heals everything it touches, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And oh Lord, your problem in our church is the weakness and the littleness of thy servant and leader. You said it, God, I didn't say it. Lord, I know that's so. Therefore, I plead guilty, and I ask for mercy. I ask for forgiveness for not loving, for strength and faith and power. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God for whole of the city, for your glories and the praise of your wonderful name, Jesus' name. Amen.
The name of my sermon is Notes from the Diary of the World's Greatest Soul Winner. God bless you.